Chapter 21. Grant had a tendency to be abrupt when he was worried. Mentally, I added that to his list of shortcomings. He was bossy, and he was sometimes irritable. I turned back to Mom and Pat, who were walking slowly toward the cemetery gate. Should I tell them about Mort's death? I hated adding this to Pat's already stressful day, and Mom, I knew, would be upset. "Why did Grant leave in such a hurry?" Mom asked as she and Pat caught up with me. "He was called to another case," I said. "I'll tell you about it later." Pat shuddered. "The life of a county sheriff is hard, always having to deal with bad things. Isn't this day awful enough already?" Mom raised her eyebrows and drew a deep breath. "Now, Pat," she said, "don't get all worked up again. You've been doing really well. You've closed a sad chapter in your life, and you shouldn't look back. Would you like for Darcy and me to go home with you?" Pat's frown immediately vanished. "Oh, would you? Yes, I'd like that. I really don't want to be alone right now. I baked some cookies yesterday, and it won't take a minute to brew a pot of coffee." "Sure, Miss Pat," I agreed. "To your house it is." Pat had ridden to the cemetery with the Sugarts, so we all piled into my Escape and started the short journey to Pat's house in the country. The two friends chatted as I drove. Most of their conversation centered around Trace Hughes and wondering if he had forgotten about the funeral or was ill or what the reason was for his absence. All I could think of was Grant's phone call and the shocking news that the newspaper editor was no longer with us. When I stopped the car at Pat's, Murphy, the redbone hound who had once belonged to Ben Ventress, got up from his bed on the porch. He plodded down the path to meet us, shaking his head from side to side and voicing a welcome, as only a hound can. After patting Murphy's shiny head and assuring him he was a wonderful animal with an unforgettable voice, I followed Mom and Pat inside her house. Mort Bascom dead. How? And why? I could not wrap my mind around it. Mort had been as prickly and as well as ever the day before. "Come on in the kitchen," Pat said, setting her purse beside the door. "It won't take a minute to get us a pot of coffee." Did the day ever get too warm for coffee? I would have welcomed a glass of iced tea, but maybe Pat needed the comfort of a hot drink after the trauma of the funeral. We sat at Pat's table drinking coffee, munching sugar cookies, and wondering why Trace Hughes was absent from the funeral. Could he have forgotten? Pat did not have his telephone number, nor did Mom or I. Uneasily, I recalled Trace shouting that Mort had better stop snooping or he would get into trouble, that he would be sorry if he didn't stop. Stop what? Looking into Trace's background? Did this threat have something to do with his absence today or with Mort's death? With no warning, Pat started to cry. Mom got up and came around the table to stand beside her friend. "There, there," Mom said. "You've had a tough day, but it's over. You can begin a new phase of your life now. Put the past behind you, Pat." Pat looked up at Mom, her eyes bloodshot and brimming with tears. "Oh, I know, Flora, I'm not particularly feeling sorry for myself, although I could with all the things that have happened, but I was thinking about Walter and wondering if his eternal soul is with the Lord. You know, he never would go to church with me, and when I tried to talk to him about God, he'd always just walk out of the room. I wonder where he is now, Flora. Where is Walter's spirit? Is he with the Lord?" Mom sighed. "You can't do a thing about that, Pat. Walter is God's concern." Pat blew her nose and glanced at me. "Last night, I couldn't sleep thinking about Walter's funeral today, and all of a sudden I got the strangest feeling as if I wasn't alone. Did either of you ever feel that way?" Thinking back to the old cemetery the night of the housewarming, I nodded. "Well, anyway, it was a comforting feeling, and I think maybe Walter may have had time to get right with the Lord just before he breathed his last. Do you all think that's possible?" "Sure, Pat," Mom said as I smiled and nodded. "With God, all things are possible." That seemed to calm Pat. She tucked her handkerchief into her pocket and got up to refill Mom's cup. I was trying to think of a good way to tell Mom and Pat about Mort when my cell phone jangled. I jumped and sloshed my coffee. "Sorry," I mumbled, soaking up the mess with a paper napkin. Putting the phone to my ear, I heard Miss George's quavering voice. She didn't ask about ghosts this time.
"Darcy, honey, I'd really like for you and Flora to come right away. Can you please? I hate to bother you, but, well, I just cannot believe what happened out here. On our very own front porch, mind you, it's Mort Bascom. Have you heard? He's dead. He died right here, Darcy, and Grant thinks we are to blame. I just know he does. Oh, dear."
Soft sobs interrupted Miss George's words. Mort died at the Jenkins's house? How did that happen? Could this day get any weirder? The nerves tightened in the back of my neck. "Certainly," I answered. "Take a deep breath, Miss Georgia, please. Drink some calming tea. Mom and I will be there as soon as we can get there."
"No, no," Miss Georgia whispered. "Not tea. That's what got us into trouble."
The sobs had subsided into sniffs before I hung up. Two pairs of anxious eyes stared at me. "What did Miss Georgia want?" Mom asked. "Is she sick or hurt? What's wrong?" "We need to go to the Jenkins's house," I said, placing my soggy napkin inside my cup. Miss Georgia didn't make a whole lot of sense. She said Grant thinks she and Miss Carolina are to blame for Mort Bascom's death.
"Mort!"
Pat gasped. "Was that what Grant's phone call was about?" Mom asked. "There must be some mistake. I don't see how he could be dead, Darcy. You just talked to him yesterday. Was it his heart?"
"First Walter, then Mort."
Pat shook her head, her tight curls vibrating. "I knew when I heard that owl on my front porch a couple of weeks ago that something was going to happen. I'll bet it was Mort's heart. He used to smoke like a chimney. So did he keel over at the Jenkins's house? I don't see how that could be their fault, do you, Flora? Why, I never heard—"
Scooting away from the table as noisily as I could, I carried my cup to the sink. Pat was about to go off on another tirade.
"Actually, I don't know what happened. Grant just said Mort is dead, and probably Miss Georgia is imagining Grant blames them for Mort's death. She sounded near hysteria, Mom, so I think we'd better go right now."
"I'll come too," Pat said, starting to get up.
"No, no, Miss Pat." I gently pushed her shoulders down, urging her to stay in the chair. "You've had enough trauma for one day." And so had I. Dealing with the Jenkins twins would be hard enough, but adding Pat's overwrought nerves to the mix would be too much to handle.
"Come on, Mom, we'd better hurry," I said, taking my mother's hand and hastening toward the door before Pat had time to reconsider.
Mom and I were silent during the drive into Levi. What did Miss Georgia mean when she said Grant blamed them for Mort's death? Why would the Jenkins sisters have anything to do with it? They had never mentioned being friends with Mort. Was he at the Jenkins house trying to nose out information on some story? What happened to the gossipy editor of the Ventress Viewpoint?